Hey, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response day for the 21st day of Adar Sheni. Thank you to the OU Director, Jacob Bronwitz, and David Hochhauser for including the Shurim online, making them available to you. Today we're going to learn two tshuvot, two responses of the Klausenberger Rebbe of Divrei Yatziv, of Yekutiel Yehuda Halberstam, from the Yoredeya section in Simon Reish Lamed Zion 237 and also Reish Lamed Tet 239. They're both dated the 21st of Adar Sheni of Tavshin Lamed of 1970, so I'm pretty sure they're written to the same man because they both deal with fathers and how they handle themselves at a son's wedding when the father is in mourning for a parent, meaning, sadly, a parent passes away. So during the Shloshim period, that's one set of rules. But after the 30-day period, for parents, there's a special 11 or 12-month period. There's 11 months of Kaddish and then 12 months of observing certain practices of refraining from certain versions of joy, which would include going to weddings. So when a child is getting married, that's a complicated thing because you want to be at the wedding. So these two responses both deal with those kinds of questions. And they're dated the same date, so I'm pretty sure they're said to the same person. Now, in the book of response in between, there's another response about how a mourner in the 12 months can or cannot conduct himself, including the question of whether he, which is addressed, the question of whether he can buy a new apartment or enter a new apartment in that situation. I'm not sure why the people who edited the response did it that way, but that's what they did. So we're going to see the first and the third of that series of three, because I think they're really actually one long response to the same father. So the first question is, can he buy new clothing for the purposes of his son's wedding? So the Klausenberg Rebbe points out, the Gemara in Moed Katan 23a talks about the concept called gihutz. Now, gihutz today is a complicated thing. Gihutz sounds like it means ironing or washing, and that might imply that all 30 days of mourning, one couldn't wear clothing as long in any kind of way. But in that Gemara there, Rebbe says that it's only for new clothing. That's one possible out for this. And Rebbe Shimon says it's no white clothing, which further limits it. Now, Abaye says we follow Rebbe, and Rava says we follow Rebbe Shimon. So, since we generally follow Rava over Abaye, that would seem to imply that we only have to worry about this in terms of new white clothing. And that would theoretically mean that if the father's going to buy anything other than new white clothing, he should be okay. And the Rach rules that way, as does the Rif and the Rush. Problem is, for our purposes, that the Yerushalmi in Moed Katan has a different ruling. The Yerushalmi in Moed Katan, chapter 3, halacha 8, which says that for other relatives who pass away, there's a problem or there's an issue of gihutz, of wearing laundered clothing or new clothing or whatever it is for 30 days, but for a parent, it's 12 months. And Avel Rabati seems to say the same thing, or seems to agree with that, and it adds a new condition. It says with Gihutz, it's Achi Yagia HaRegel, until a holiday comes, V'yiga'arubo chaverav, and friends or people around you start telling you that you're not dressed appropriately and things like that. So that's a new standard. So the standard of, so the Rush, when he's discussing this issue, says it's true. Our Gemara, the Bavli, doesn't seem to have this distinction between a parent and everybody else, but the Yerushalmi does, and the Avraham Rabbati does. And the Rambam also writes that way. And therefore, and then since it's in the Yerushalmi and the Avraham Rabbati, we don't choose to be lenient about it. And that's what the Torah writes as well. That therefore, with a parent, until a regal comes, and it's after Shloshim, I think every regal is, almost all regalim will be after Shloshim, because the regal stops the Shloshim, and Yigarubo Chaveirav, and people say to the person, you know, you need new clothing. We have a similar idea, let me mention, and it'll come up later as well, I think we have a similar idea regarding haircutting, that when it comes to shaving, so for parents, it's not until after 30 days, and even then you need Yikarubo Chavirav. Now, rabbis know this, so rabbis, when they have an avil in their community, a mourner in their community, will say to the man or the woman, right after the shloshim is over, they'll say, you know, you don't look good, you should go take a haircut, and that will solve the problem. So this theoretically is a similar idea, which comes to wearing new clothing as well after a parent has passed away, and the avil rabbi adds the idea that it should be with a regal on its way as well. The Ramah there specifically contrast wearing new clothing to getting haircuts. And taking haircuts, he says, that whenever the hair gets too heavy on a person, meaning they're too unkempt, or if it's a person who has to deal with non-Jews and they won't understand that this person is letting his personal grooming get a little bit neglectful by virtue of the mourning over the parent for the entire year. So the other Ramah thinks that there's room to be makel. So Rabbi Akiva Eger commented on that. he cites an Or Zeruah that the halacha is that really for 12 months, once the friends have been Megayer Bo, have told him one time that he doesn't look good, he can then get haircuts anytime he feels the need to. But the Ramah was saying, the custom is actually to wait throughout the 12 months until people are Megayer in the person, unless it's gotten too heavy and nobody's saying anything, or you're a person who deals with non-Jews. Regarding clothing, though, Halberstam thinks that we deal with it more stringently, that there we would follow the Yerushalmi, and for all 12 months we would avoid getting new clothing for a parent, unless possibly people were Megayer and you had the regular issue coming up, meaning as the holiday was coming along, people would say to the person, you know, I think you need some new clothing. That might have been where we left the issue, except that Beit Yosef quotes a Kolbo that's going to become very important for Rav Halberstam. And the Kolbo says you shouldn't get new clothing all throughout the year unless you have somebody else wear them for 2 or 3 days. Now, the Kolbo, the Beis Yosef makes clear that this isn't a matter of halacha, right? As a matter of halacha, of law, after 4 weeks, after the Shloshim is over, one should be allowed to wear new clothing, but the minhag is to do it this way. Now, the Ramah does not quote that issue there. He quotes it regarding laundered clothing, because laundered clothing was also an issue. If it's freshly laundered and it feels good, it was also an issue. But the Ramah says that the custom is if somebody wears them a little bit. Now, he doesn't say 2 or 3 days. He says it a little bit. If the custom is if somebody wears it a little bit, then you can wear it and it's not considered laundered anymore. But the Ramah doesn't mention it in terms of new clothing. Once he's on the topic of laundered, the Rav Halberstam, the Klausenberger, says, you know, he also thinks that this issue of laundered, now this is, I think, an important point that he's making that other people don't necessarily make it, that he thinks the standards of what's considered laundered or not laundered for the purpose of the morning issue change from generation to generation, that different generations with different standards apply. So, for example, in our times, something that's been washed or laundered is naki, is cleaner and better ironed and better handled than many things that are new, right? And so, especially since we use laundry detergent and stuff like that. So he thinks that in our times that would be a very serious issue, and that for all that, for a long time, people have treated, meaning going back to Bali Tosfos, have treated their laundry halakhically as less significant than what the Gemara talks about in terms of gihuts. He thinks in our days we probably have to be machmir, and therefore he thinks that people who are in mourning should really have somebody wear their other clothing for at least a little while before wearing it. But in terms of new, which is our main issue, where we see, he says, you look, it's beautiful and it shines and it's clear. So everybody might agree that we have this problem of gihuts, and that we should, for the entire 12-month period, refrain from using such clothing for a mourner. And the only way out of it that you can imagine is that somebody else wears them actually for 2 to 3 days. Now, I want to say that 2 to 3 days of other somebody else wearing it seems to me, he says it like it's a simple thing to find, but considering how things fit or don't fit, it seems to me clear that you'd have a challenge. But that's what he thinks. He thinks the only standard that will work will be that somebody takes it for 2 or 3 days. You know, it's that Pirkei Tshuva quotes a responsible panim that he wrote, which is about a woman who was in Shloshim, which is not the same exact thing, because Shloshim is a little more serious than Yud Bet Chodesh in the 12-month period for a parent. But let's say there's a woman who's just had a child. So the tradition was the first time she went to shul, I think, was when her husband would binge gomel. So the first time she's going to go to shul, she wants to wear nicer clothing, but she's in mourning, so usually you're not allowed to wear nicer clothing while in mourning. So the Panim Yirot said she can wear big day Shabbat clothing, but not big day Yom Tov. She's not Yom Tov clothing. Now, Yom Tov clothing were your higher level clothing. I think for today, there are many people don't have a distinction between Yom Tov clothing and Shabbat clothing, but halakhically, traditionally, that was the assumption. So he said she can wear that, not that. So the Mishvori Yaakov says something similar about a woman who has a pigeon, a ben, coming up when she's in mourning, that since the opinion of many of some authorities is that a pigeon, a ben, you make a bracha called a simcha b'ma'ono. A bracha simcha b'ma'ono means that it's a celebration of Hashem giving us simcha, giving us a time of joy. So the Shvi Yaakov said that means it's, for her it's like a regel, meaning the simcha of a simcha b'mono is similar to the simcha, is similar to the joy of a holiday, and therefore he thinks she can at least wear big day Shabbat. She can at least wear Shabbos clothing. Right, it's only Shabbat clothing. He doesn't say Yom Tov clothing. So both of those sources seem to indicate that even when we have a good cause, even we have a good cause for simcha, for joy, and we're allowing the joy to interrupt the avelut to a certain extent, and even when it counts as a regel for that person, as a sort of a holiday, a personal holiday for that person, we nonetheless would not allow Big Day Yom Tov, we'd only allow Big Day Shabbat. And that's why for new clothing, he thinks you'd really have to have 2 to 3 days of somebody else wearing it. Now, he's willing to concede that there are certain clothing that becomes or that seems less new in lesser time and something that takes more time. Meaning there's some clothing that until you've worn it in that it's no longer considered absolutely new, you could wear it for that, you could have somebody else wear it for that lesser time, but he's not willing to, you know, rule on those issues, just pointing out that it might be true. But symbolic time is certainly not a time when it's true. Now, this whole idea of wearing it for 2 or 3 days was only whether it was a need. So the other point of the issue here is that this qualifies as a need. So he says it's clear that for the wedding of a child, that qualifies as a need. He says, look at the Maharil, where he writes that a Baal HaBrit, if you're having a child who's having a boy who's being circumcised, a baby who's being circumcised, that's Kashuv Regel Shelo. That is considered a holiday for that person. So too, we saw the Panim Meirot already, that he thought of it as being a Yom Tov of hers just going to Shul for the first time after she had a baby. And or Pidyon HaBenri said, so the wedding of a child is clearly like a regel shelo, because people have the obligation to marry off their children to proper spouses, and therefore it's considered like a regel that would be sufficient to allow us to at least take advantage of this leniency that you can have somebody wear it for 2 to 3 days. Because, he says, he thinks new clothing is more stringent and more serious an issue than Shabbos clothing. Right? He could have just argued, well, let the father wear Shabbos clothing. So if you want to do that, that would clearly be allowed. He wants to know if he can buy a new suit or a new garment for the wedding, and that, he thinks, the Klausenberger thinks, is more serious than Big Day Shabbat. Again, today, where people's Big Day Shabbat are the same as their Big Day Yom Tov, where people wear the same clothing for Shabbos Yom Tov, there's an argument to be made that this only qualifies Big Day Shabbat, and it's not more chavar, but that's not the way he's taking it. He's taking it as new clothing is more serious than Shabbos clothing, and therefore you have to have somebody else wear it for 2 to 3 days. He thinks another room for leniency, although again, he's going to end up thinking that 2 or 3 days is necessary because it's possible, but he thinks another avenue for leniency is, he thinks that whenever you're going to have family and relatives gathering together, even though they haven't arrived yet, but you know they're going to come for the wedding, that in itself constitutes a ge'arah. That in and of itself constitutes somebody saying to this person, you know, you need new clothing. That's what was the standard we had for haircuts and for clothing as well. We said, if somebody says to you, you need it, that's going to be a leniency that's going to help you buy new clothing. So here he's saying, you don't necessarily have to wait for that to actually happen, because when the relatives are going to come, that's going to be the time when they're going to say you need new clothing, so you can do it already. But he again thinks that would only be true to take you to the level of Shabbos clothing, but to get beyond that to the level of new clothing, he's not sure. He still thinks you need to see the 2 to 3 day issue. He once again offers another option. You could argue that since everybody wears new clothing to their child's wedding, that should also be a standard, meaning that when we assume that there's an implicit ge'ara, there's an implicit statement by friends and relatives, you know, you need other clothing, that for the wedding purposes, it's clearly going to be a ge'ara, not just to wear Shabbos clothing, but a ge'ara to wear actually new clothing. Nonetheless, even though that's true, nonetheless, he thinks the 2 to 3 day option of having somebody else wear your clothing for 2 to 3 days is so strong that he doesn't think there's any way to get around that. He also thinks that it's helpful if what you buy is garment. Now, he's going to talk in Hasidic terms. He thinks it's helpful if what you buy is the kind of clothing that's usable on Shabbat as well, because then there's a covered Shabbos element to this purchase of clothing, because you're going to buy stuff. He talks about a shtreimel and a bekasha. You're going to buy stuff that's usable on Shabbat, and that helps it as well. One final piece of leniency comes from the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan points out, as I've been saying in a different sort of tone of voice, but the Aruch HaShulchan points out that it's been at least 100 years. Now, he's writing the late 1800s, early 1900s. He says it's been at least 100 years that we no longer allow people or are comfortable with people wearing Bigdei Chol on Shabbat. Meaning, if you look in the Ramah, it seems like the Ramah thinks that an Avel, a mourner, should, for at least the Shloshim period of mourning, should wear that clothing not only on the weekday, but on Shabbat as well, because I think the the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov clothing and weekday clothing wasn't so significant. But there are Chazal says, but we have such a significant difference that we don't do that anymore. We don't wear chol clothing, secular weekday clothing on Shabbat. Now, I will say that those, to me, as I'm reading this, I think it's clearly true, let's say, for people who wear, I don't know, khakis and a polo shirt for during the week, or jeans and a t-shirt during the week, that they couldn't wear that on Shabbat even when they're in mourning. But let's suppose somebody had a Shabbat suit, and they wear suits all week as well to their, I don't know, law practice or their business meetings, right? So if somebody said, then, so theoretically and ideally, they should have a special Shabbos suit as well. I'm not sure people do that either. They might just feel that it's a whole rotation. They just wear all the same suits all the time. That's a challenge of its own. But if there's a person who has Shabbat suits and weekday suits or that are roughly the same, there's an argument made that during Shloshim, at least, they should wear the weekday suits on Shabbat as well, because you're not supposed to wear your big day Shabbat, as we've seen, other than for some kinds of special occasions. That was true, especially an example that was what's called Shabbat Chazon. Shabbat Chazon is the Shabbos before Yom Tisha B'Av, and there was a custom all 9 days not to wear laundered clothing, and some of the custom not even to change into Shabbat clothing on Shabbat Chazon. Now again, that makes sense if your Shabbat clothing is roughly the same as your weekday clothing, just nicer. Meaning, let's say you're always going to wear a suit, just you have a newer suit that you wear on Shabbat, and you set aside for Shabbat. So on Shabbat Chazon, you'd stick in your old suit. But when you switch, that you have very different garments for Shabbat and weekday, so then you'd say, no, even Shabbat Chazon, you have to wear Shabbat clothing, even though it's a time of Jewish national mourning. So if that were true, then it might mean that we no longer have the custom of wearing our weekday clothing all the time. That might mean you're allowed to wear Shabbos clothing even in mourning, and that might make more room to say you're allowed to buy new clothing. But yet, once again, and as I said before, he thinks the whole thing is circumventable, surmountable by having somebody else wear for 2-3 days, and therefore he's not willing and comfortable to rely on these leniencies, unless there's some reason why you can't do any of this, in which case you can. So he thinks there's room to be lenient if you have to, because it's the father, and you want the wedding to come off well. So that's the first responsum on the issue of what mourners can do for their child's wedding. Step one was, can they buy new clothing? Step two is, can the father participate in the wedding meal? And that's responsum number 239, Reish Lamed Tet. Now, today I will say that many of us have the custom of thinking that if a relative wants to be at the wedding meal, they should do some kind of a service. You know, they serve as a partial photographer, they serve a meal, they do this, they do that. So the Kolzenberger says, and there's a rivet quoted in the tour in the Beis Yosef in Yoredeh Siman Shin Tzadi Aleph, that if somebody marries off an orphan, so let's remember, before you have social services of any sort, if you have an orphan and their parents didn't have any money, they're sort of stuck in life. So one of the great, great kinds of kindnesses people could do is to sort of adopt these orphans. So let's suppose a man has adopted the orphan to the extent that he's marrying him off. He's marrying off this boy or girl, right? So he is the center of the simcha then, because this orphan could not have gotten the wedding together without this person. So the Ravid says that such a person is considered like the center of this simcha. And so the Nekudat HaKesef quotes Mahariel that it's considered his own simcha. That would mean, therefore, so we have to be sure that the wedding simcha comes from him. So that would be clearly true for the father of the chatan, because he's the one who's got the obligation, the primary obligation, to make sure the child gets married. The Ramban of Torah Adam, who did not accept the Ravid's idea, he thought that when you're marrying off an orphan, it's not your child, it's a great chesed, it's great kindness, but he thought it didn't count halakhically as enough of your holiday such that you could wear different clothing or newer clothing or participate in the meal is our discussion here, because you're an avel, so you couldn't do it. But the Kolzenberger thinks, but the Ramban would agree, that when it comes to your own child, he thinks that would be a more simple thing, that it would be considered your own regel, and therefore you'd be allowed to participate. Because after all, the Maharil, now who came after the Ramban, so this doesn't prove what the Ramban would have held, but the Maharil held that even for a brit milah, even for circumcising one's child, you could participate as an avel, and a brit milah is less obviously a simcha than marrying off the child, I think is his point. The Maharsha allowed it explicitly for the mother of a chatan when she's in mourning, Because he says the chatan has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah period of erivya, of having children, and therefore the participation of relatives is more important. The Maharashtam extended that to all the anshei hachupa hakrovim lachatan me'alakala. So I think he means anshei hachupa. I think what he means is like the kinds of people who we today would be in the wedding party, you know, who would wear the special wedding clothing or would walk down the aisle in some kinds of weddings. People like that, the Maharashtam says, they're really part of it, and therefore they're part of the simcha. It's considered a holiday of theirs, and therefore they shouldn't have any tzar, they shouldn't be sad on that day, and also they shouldn't cause any tzar, they shouldn't cause any distress to the chatan. Meaning it's also true, it's clearly the chatan's day. The chatan is not an avel, the chatan is not a mourner, and if the chatan, the groom or the bride, they're going to feel bad on their wedding day because so-and-so can't attend, there's room to say that we can allow it for that person to attend because it becomes like a holiday of theirs, and on holidays, there is no public mourning. The problem with the orphan is that this person is not at all a relative. So that's why the Ravid comes along to say he held that it's a close enough relationship, it's not a blood relationship, but the financial aspect of it, this man or is funding the wedding, is bringing him to the chuppah, creates an emotional connection as well, a proper emotional connection. It's not like you're buying into it. It's at a proper emotional connection that the Ravid thinks makes enough of that person's regular, enough of that person's holiday, that he can participate in the wedding. The Rambam disagrees, but when it comes to one's own child, it should be more clear, according to the Klausenberger Rebbe, it should be more clear that the parent can participate fully in the wedding. Now, one might have argued, because what the Ravid says is you're worried that the wedding will come apart, and you might have argued, you mean, it'll be mitbatel. You might have thought of the man, it literally won't happen, because unless the man is there to make sure it occurs, it won't occur. And theoretically, you could argue that when it comes to his own son, that's not true, because his own son has a better social support system, and therefore the wedding will happen either way. Right? You might have argued that. So the Klausenberger says, no, he doesn't think he means it. He thinks he means that the Ravid is saying that mitbatel asimcha, the joy, will be reduced. And therefore, if that's true for the man marrying off the orphan or the girl orphan, that's all the more so for a parent that the simcha will go away, and therefore there's perfectly a lot of room to say that you could participate in the wedding. Now, once he's offered that line of reasoning, he says you don't need to reach for the reason, for the idea of shimush, of helping out at the wedding, because of all the reasons we've said. In addition to which, he says, it could be that just being there is a form of shimush, a form of participating in the service of the wedding, because it makes the wedding happen in its way. So those are two brief tshuvot of the Klausenberger Rebbe, two brief response of Klausenberger Rebbe to a father whose son is getting married, allowing him, A, to get new clothing, although there the Klausenberger thinks that he should have to have somebody else wear the clothing for 2 to 3 days, and then B, that the father could also fully participate in the wedding without needing to do any kind of service of photography or waiting tables or anything like that, because he is vital to the experience of the wedding. And that is a responsibility day for the 21st day of Adar Sheni. I'm going a little under time today, but since I have frequently before going overtime, this will be a partial repayment of the fact that I've gone overtime so many other times. Have a great day. Thank you to the OU, Rabbi Jacob Bromwich, David Hochhauser. Have a great day.